What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved.
Are you glad you saved this morning? Say amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy and honor to be here this morning. And I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, and say it's good to see each and every one of you. Don't mind the light flickering this morning. That's just the Lord letting us know he's here with us. and a few computer problems at the same time. So no attention to that, but it's good to be here. Good to see each and every one of you, and wonder how many first-time visitors do we have this morning. If this is your first time with us, would you raise a hand? Okay, all right. We have little ones with us here, and the grandchildren of the Riches, and so I know they're thrilled to have the grandkids this morning. But we do have some visiting with us, and we're thrilled that you're with us this morning. In the house of the Lord. We have a busy Sunday this Sunday. Just after the choir comes down, we're going to dedicate little baby Charlie to the Lord. And, of course, that dedication has to do with dedicating the parents as well to continue to raise the children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And they're doing a great job with the ones they have, the Martins are. So we appreciate this opportunity. At the same time, this is Mission Sunday, and so just after I pray, I want to present just maybe a minute or two our missionary of the month, and then we'll have some singing for you. Also, let me mention this, that it's our CLU Brotherhood this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and the men, the men's brotherhood, we're actually going to introduce our new study we're getting ready to get into. It's based off of the movie Courageous, and so all men, young men, middle-aged men, and older seasoned men, you're all welcome, and please come to that. We're going to introduce that, and next month we're going to start the first lesson, and so remember those things. It's going to be a great day today. I guess it's officially winter. it's a bit cold outside, but I'm glad it's warm on the inside. We were pulling in this morning to the church, and I told Christy, I said, you know, it's cold, and a lot of people are probably staying home this morning. Of course, the Lord always proves me wrong. We got a good crowd this morning. But I was thinking about Charles Spurgeon when he got saved, and it wasn't in the springtime. It wasn't during the summertime, but it was actually on a Sunday where there was about a foot of snow, and the preacher didn't even make it to church that Sunday. It was a small church, and one of the deacons assumed that position and was apt to teach that Sunday. The preacher was out, so the deacon, he got up, and I can't recall where he was reading from. It was one of the Psalms, but he got to reading that Psalm, and about that time, Spurgeon walked in and sat on the back pew, and he said, as that deacon was just all he was doing, he opened the Bible and just began to read, just like that, the power of God's Word. He started reading, and Charles Spurgeon came forward, and he got saved. I don't quote after a lot of authors and such like that, but that tells me something, that the same God that's here in the springtime, summertime, when everybody's here, is the same God that's here if there's only two or three. And so this morning, let's just worship the Lord while we're here. He is the main reason. It's good to see Shirley and James Townsend back with us. I know they've been out for some time now, got sick and got well, rebounded, got well and coughed her back out and got well. And and so this particular year, I don't know, it's just been folks getting sick. I mean, several people got well, rebounded. And so you just continue to, everybody to keep well and do the best you can do. Good to have Brother Don and Sister Carla with us this morning. And Brother Don's going to be preaching this morning and preaching tonight. I asked him if he'd do that. And so you pray for him. Let's pray. And then we're going to mention for a minute or two our missionary this month. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but the name of Jesus. We're thankful and grateful, Lord, for who you are, and for even on a cold, windy, winter morning, Sunday morning, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded that your people still have desires to come to your house, Lord. And I'm thankful for that, how you remind us of that, Lord, that you can cause something big to come out of something so little, Lord. You can change things at a moment's notice. We serve a God that is active and that is able, and we're thankful. Father, I pray this morning that you would be with the singing, be with Brother Allen, be with the baby dedication, Lord. We're thankful for little Charlie, baby Charlie, and her coming into this world. What a miracle. We're thankful for the Martins, Lord, their family, and what they mean to us, and their faithfulness to raising their children. And Father, I pray for Brother Don as he comes, that you bless him and use him. I pray this morning that someone would be saved, and Lord, that those of us that are saved would be encouraged. And Father, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share with you for just a moment or two. Of course, you know we are presenting one missionary per month of missionaries that we support, and trying to highlight their ministry. And getting ready to make a little more changes to our presentation of our missionaries monthly. And so you'll see that. We're going to spruce the missionary board up much more than it is. And we are definitely working on having current monthly statements, letters on our board. And so you be in prayer about that. But today, the Raines family, Michael, Tina, and family, the Raines family, they're missionaries to Kenya, which is in West Africa. And they've been missionaries for some time, and we support them. We're proud of them. We love them. Their church is growing rapidly. And this is really a great idea, I think. They have a new members class, just a class for new members to minister to them. Michael has a brother named Stephen, and Stephen is leading that class. For the last I heard, he was. And it's going very well. But then there's a shortage on hymn books in Kenya, the hymn books that we enjoy and treasure. There's a shortage of those. They may have some, but there's no musical notes to know how to play to the music. And so Brother Michael and his brother Stephen are looking to produce their own hymn books over in Kenya. So you be in prayer about that, and if I find out anything extra than this, then I'll relay it to you. Maybe we can give to that to help produce those hymn books. At the end of one of his letters, Michael mentions this, and this is a small line from a poem that was wrote by C.T. Studd, and I wanted to mention it. It's just a small one-liner, and it's good to it's good to mention it, but also it's good to live by it. And it says this by C.T. Studd: "Only one life and will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." That's it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So my challenge to all of us when it comes to missions, when it comes to the Christian life in general, just get busy for God. Stay busy for God, those that are, because this life is soon passing. And the only thing that's going to stand is the things that we've done for the Lord. Thank you.
Would you stand with me this morning? And could we sing the chorus that says, "Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name." There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after about that. Yes, there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. And yes, there is something about the name of Jesus. Amen. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you are visiting here at Calvary, you are our special guest. We pray that when you leave here today, you'll be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord this morning. It is a special day here at Calvary, and there's much going on. Please remember, ladies, COU today at 4 o'clock, Brotherhood at 4 as well, and choir practice immediately following that at 5 or soon after that. And we're excited about that. We're getting ready for Jubilee, which is right around the corner in March. That'll be the first full week of March, so please make that a matter of prayer. Pray for Brother Don. He'll be bringing both of our messages today, and we're excited about that, and we're looking forward to that. Please remember a couple of very special prayer requests. Barbara Ann is back in the hospital, and she's at Emory, and please remember her in prayer. Also, Jackie had to leave a few moments ago and take Brother Jack home. He's not feeling very well at all, so please remember him in prayer. Remember service tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting at 7. And much going on here at Calvary today. And please remember all of these things in prayer. And just remember the service this morning. There is a baby dedication. Very special service this morning. And we're looking forward to that. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask Him to have His hand upon the service this morning. And just pray that the Lord's fills this place with his power and with his presence. Let's pray for the offering this morning as well. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you take us to the Lord? Yes. Brother Charlie.
Hey, gracious Father, again, may we bow our hearts and heads to you this morning with thanksgiving, Father. That this folk, Father, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And there's something about the Lord Jesus Christ that encourages and strengthens. Father, we come to you this morning through the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain your mercy and grace to help us have a need. I pray for God. Father, you know the spiritual needs of many, many people today.
video. But I did want to share some words. It's a very special time. As anybody could imagine that's ever had their baby dedicated. And then, of course, we wanted Brother Allen to be involved in this. Miss Amanda did. And it would only be right to do that. We want that. And so I want to just read what dedication is. And then I want to mention some verses out of the book of Psalms. Baby dedication is a wonderful moment in which parents make a public statement of faith to raise their children under God's grace and wisdom. Of course, y'all do that already. You have been. And we acknowledge that. But dedicating your child to God shows that you recognize your child as a gift from God. You know that. And you're dedicating yourself to being a godly example to your child. You're both great godly examples. It's a continuation of that, of course, is our prayer. Baby dedication does not secure salvation, as you know. Rather, it is a symbolic moment of entrusting the child's life to God's will. That's what baby dedication is. And again, I want to read some verses briefly out of the book of Psalms, chapter number 127. Psalms 127 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Listen to this. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Children are a gift from God. Goes without saying. "And the fruit of the womb is his reward." Evidence of his favor. The fruit of the womb. When God gives a child, and brings a child into this world, it is evidence of God's favor upon the womb. Lo, children are a heritage. Children are a gift from God. Everybody knows that. But it needs to be stated once again that children are a gift from God. Verse 4 says this, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." We have little arrows down here. There's little arrows in this church. And arrows have to be straightened. Arrows have to be molded and shaped, because, and as much as I hate to say this, there's coming a day when your little arrows will be launched out to the world, and all of the molding and shaping and rearing as they were young is for that moment. I got an 11-year-old, of course, Lily. She's 11 going on 15, and she is definitely an arrow. One day we'll be sending her out in the world. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." And you know that, continuing to mold and shape. You're doing a wonderful job. Jackson is on the drums. I mean, our little drummer up here, that is reflection of parenting is what it is. And just a continuation of that. In verse 5 says this, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Full of them. Now, Brother CJ, I'm not prophesying about the future, but happy is the man. You got a good group of arrows here, and pretty sure the quiver's full. "Happy is the man," and you're happy. Y'all are happy. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Listen to this, and then I'm going to turn over to Brother Allen. "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." What does that mean? These children, because of how they're being raised, will not be ashamed when they get older. They will be proud of the parenting they had growing up. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What does that mean? That means that these kids are going to grow up and take care of mom and dad perhaps one day.
because mom and dad took care of them, growing, raising them when they were young, then returns the favor. That last phrase, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate, it has to do with helping the parents or subduing an enemy from the parents. Really what it is we raise our kids, and then one day our kids will help us out. There will be no ashamedness there. No one will be ashamed because of the child rearing. And my word to you today is to just continue the great work you've been doing as mom and dad. And we're very proud of your family and we love you.
Well, my journey started with a precious little girl that I dedicated years ago back to the Lord. So Amanda, if you'll come up here. And then, I'll be honest with you, down in children's church, I never would have dreamed this. I remember, I wish Uncle Ben was here this morning because he wouldn't believe it either. I snatched him up and brought him up them stairs so fast it'd make your head swim. But God saw fit to give us a great blessing in our family. Terry, yesterday, she said, "Boy, that's CJ. He is a true blessing to our family." Come here, buddy. And truly, he has been a blessing. And then, come here, guys. I'm not getting any younger, so I wrote it down. I don't want, because there's some things I didn't want to miss this morning. This is a very special day for me. It's an honor for a pawpaw. It's a very special service. You know me here at Calvary. I've been here for about 22 years. I love baptism. And I love baby dedications. We call it a dedication service. It's a time when we as parents give our children back to God. And a lot of you are sitting out there saying, "Oh, wait then. There's some kids I'd like to give back to God." But it's a no refund policy and no return. Even if we could, most of us, knowing us, would probably have lost a receipt by now. But look up here this morning. What a gift. A gift from God. Always remember this. We now have another precious little gift. Little Charlie. Amanda, CJ, I want you to remember this. She is a gift, but she belongs to him first. It hit me kind of hard, to be honest with you, when the Lord gave me this. She is only alone. She's only alone. So, God has left it up to you to show little Charlie the way. What a responsibility. Wow, we could say so much this morning, but we stand here before the altar. There are many examples that have been given. Hannah brought Samuel to the Lord, the son that she had prayed for. Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus. Abraham offered his son, his only son, Isaac. But what does it all mean this morning? Giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. It is a commitment to raise your children in God's way. It is a commitment, not just a ceremony, but a commitment to be godly parents, to stay with God, to teach them of Christ and salvation. There's no greater joy and no greater challenge that one day maybe you or CJ may have an opportunity to tell her about Jesus and his great love for her. Or hey, Jackson, Carter, maybe even Gracie may have an opportunity to tell her about his great love. That's just God. You have a commitment to keep them in church, a commitment to love this child, a commitment to pray for this child, a commitment to train this child. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when, sorry about this, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I encourage you to stay married for this child. If for no other reason, she is a great one. Make your home a happy place for these children. Put away worldliness and live a righteous life. This is more than a ceremony. It's a commitment. Come see Paw Paw. What a gift. Father, we stand before you this morning in awe. Lord, we thank you, first of all, for a precious little Charlie. Thank you for a great little birth. Thank you for keeping Amanda safe through the birth and a healthy birth. 10 little fingers, 10 little toes. She is precious to us. Lord, there was a time there was some anxiousness, Lord, through the delivery. And Lord, we thank you for a healthy birth and thank you for keeping Amanda healthy through it all. But now, Lord, we stand at your altar and, Lord, we come into your presence and, Lord, I thank you for this family and, Lord, what it means to me. Lord, my family. Lord, what a great opportunity. Lord, and I thank you for it this morning. But, Lord, this morning I pray that you would take this little life that I hold in my hands. And, Lord, we offer her to you. Lord, there will come a time in this world, Lord, it seems in this crazy world that it is such a challenge, Lord, to bring another life into this world. But, Lord, you have seen fit to give them this precious life, even into the craziness. And, Lord, I pray that you would help them to raise her in the admonition of the Lord. And, Lord, help them, Lord, to train her up in the way that she should go. Lord, I pray that you would bless her. And, Lord, I pray that you would encourage her. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, is in the days to come, Lord, as she, Lord, begins to walk, and Lord, she begins to toddle around, that she will see, and Lord, that she will look unto her parents and Lord, her brothers and sisters, and see, Lord, how they love you. Lord, I pray in the future, Lord, that as she begins to get a little older, Lord, that she will see, Lord, how they trust in the Word of God, the power of God, Lord, that, Lord, as they come to church, that they will see how these people in this place love you and honor you. And God, I pray that everything that she sees will be all about you. Lord, I pray that you would help her to be healthy and give her wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would in the, Lord, the time, Lord, that she is, Lord, when she comes to that age where she needs to have a faith in you, Lord, that you would help her, Lord, to know that there is something about walking with Jesus. Lord, that's what she'll need most is you. Lord, again, we thank you for her. Lord, we present her to you. Lord, we know that she is just alone. Lord, help us as a family. Help us as a church. Lord, to live before her, be committed before her, to live a life before her, Lord, that she would see us living for you. Lord, guide her. Lord, I pray that you would shelter her. Lord, I pray that you would be with her and that your hand would always be upon her. And Lord, I pray that she would live for you in the days to come. Lord, there's no telling, Lord, what you might have in store for her in her life. We present her to you, back to you this morning. Dedicate her life to you today. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Gift on behalf of the church.
Round of applause for that moment. Very, very special time. All right. Well, Brother Don, you are definitely not a stranger around here, so you come, brother, and give us the word this morning.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to stand here this morning. We're just in for a couple of weeks, a couple of doctor's appointments, things like that, that we had to take care of and be here for my mother's 80th birthday. Thank you to y'all that were here yesterday, or at least in spirit. We sure appreciated that time with her yesterday here in the fellowship hall. Brother Justin was so concerned after he invited me to come preach this morning. He said, listen, we're going to have baby dedication and we're going to have a missions moment. I said, brother, don't you worry about it. I will not let that cut into my preaching time. So I don't want to take any more time up than I need to this morning. But I do want to start with asking a few questions this morning. One of them is just this. How much time do you spend thinking about the past? How much time do you spend thinking about maybe where you came from, how things used to be? We always talk about the good old days. But then how much time do you spend appreciating the present, thinking about where you are now, how things have changed, and counting the blessings that we have? And then I'd like to ask you this morning, if you'd think about this. Do you think that things are better now than before? Now, I'm not talking about the world situation. I'm talking about in your own life. In this message this morning, I believe that we're going to see that although it may not seem that way at times, I believe if we're Christians, things are much better now than ever before. As a matter of fact, I want us to realize that they couldn't get much better than they are now. And to confirm that, we're going to walk down memory lane this morning with some scriptures. Now, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, so you may want to put like a bookmark there because we're going to be touching on quite a few other scriptures. You may just want to note them down as we go through there for the sake of time. I'll read through them, but I'll give them to you and let you know what they are. But we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 6. Now, brother, there's two glasses up here. What am I supposed to choose? Okay, good. So I'm not going to coast through this one, right? All right, Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 6. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Our journey begins this morning as we read this wonderful truth in God's word. Now I'm going to give a little, I guess you'd say, historical background here so we know what's going on. Y'all know that the name Gentile literally means a non-Jew, whether it's referring to an individual or a nation. A non-Jewish person is considered a Gentile, especially when we're talking about the Bible. A country that's predominantly non-Jewish is considered a Gentile nation. And as many of you know, the word Gentile applies to any and all of us who are not pure Jewish. And I don't know of anyone in here that is. Maybe there would be, but I don't know of them. One fact I'd like to remind you of is that the gospel was first presented to the Jews, God's chosen people. And I know I'm going over some basics here, but I believe that we need to see that and remember some things this morning. As Gentiles, we were not part of that special group chosen by God to receive his blessings, to receive salvation. You see, salvation was originally just for the Jews. Just for the Jews. Jesus said in John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, meaning that it was first delivered to them. It was presented to them. But the Jews rejected Christ, as we know, and as being their Messiah. Instead, they chose to hang him on that cross. And for their rejection, praise the Lord, God made salvation available to the Gentiles, to whosoever will. Now, that's where we're coming in with some background here. In Acts chapter 9, we read the story of Paul's conversion after he had been actively and truthfully terrorizing the disciples of Jesus. He was on his way to visit the high priest and to ask him for letters, granting him permissions to capture, to tie up, and to bring any Christian he found to Jerusalem for punishment. Acts 26, Paul stood before King Agrippa. He stood there and he gave his testimony concerning his conversion and a special calling that God had placed on his life. If you'll turn with me very quickly to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 12. Keep your place there in Ephesians. We will be back there most of the time. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God specifically called probably the one person that no one thought could change. And he called him for the specific purpose of reaching the Gentiles with the gospel message. Notice in the end of verse 18 here, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. This falls right in line with our key verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, which we've already read, Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. In other words, they would be recipients of the inheritance and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Again, you may want to bookmark Ephesians chapter 2, because that's where we're going to spend most of our time. We're going to start in our main text for today in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now, I told you that we're going to walk down a scriptural memory lane per se. And as we go, I'd like to share at least nine things. We'll go quickly, but at least nine things I believe we should remember. And one of the first things that we need to remember as we begin this journey is this. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember where we were in the spiritual sphere of things. I believe a lot of times we take for granted what we have now as if it's always been that way. But I'm going to show you some things this morning. If you didn't know, you'll know now. If you did know, this ought to help us to remember and appreciate where we are. You see, some people work all their lives to make a good name for themselves. But, you know, it's been said you can put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, isn't it? Folks, in biblical times, the non-Jews, those Gentiles, us, we were referred to as dogs. That's us, the dogs. We are part of that group that they call dogs. And it wasn't meant as a kind of a fuzzy, you know, cute and cuddly kind of way. What we're talking about here is completely different. Dogs were not popular back then. They were considered filthy scavengers. If you read through Scripture, they're mentioned eating dead things, licking up blood, and eating scraps. We read in the Old Testament where the dogs ate the flesh of Jezebel, the wicked King Ahab's wife, the one that killed some of God's prophets. In Isaiah, there are different adjectives even added to when the Scriptures demean certain people or groups. I want you to hear what they say. They use such phrases as greedy dogs and dumb dogs. So again, you kind of see our background. It wasn't even permitted to give to the church the amount of money that a dog was worth. It was the same thing and considered just as filthy as the amount paid to a prostitute. Now you can just note this if you want to turn real quickly. Deuteronomy 23:18. Deuteronomy 23:18 says, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Even in the New Testament, dogs were seen as vile and profane. They were mentioned licking sores and things like that. And believe it or not, Jesus himself spoke of the Gentiles as dogs. When the Gentile woman asked him to cast a devil out of her daughter. Now here I would like for you to turn. Mark chapter 7, verse 25. Mark chapter 7, 25. There was a lady who asked Christ to cast a devil out of her daughter. Mark chapter 7, verse 25 says, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." Now, he wasn't talking about a physical dog. He was talking about the Gentile people receiving the blessings that was meant for the Jews. That's exactly what he's talking about here. The Greek word for dog here used is means a small dog or a puppy, which I think is kind of odd the way they use that word here. I say odd. That's exactly what the way God wanted it, because he was referring to a Greek woman's child. So the word translated as a small dog or a puppy. Philippians 3:2 says, "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." And this was written by Paul to warn the Philippian church of false prophets, which they considered dogs. Again, dogs were not looked at very well. Those who taught work salvation were the evil workers, and those who tried to tear the church apart were considered the concision. And we can glean from this that dogs were listed with some of the lowest type of individuals and animals on this earth. So are we getting the idea of just what we were once considered? We need to remember that. As Christians today, I believe it's important for us to remember where we came from and what we were before Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Talking about thinking with a clear understanding, seriously thinking about where we've come from, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's turn back to our text in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be at verse 12 here. Just going to kind of walk through these verses, and we're going to see some things that we need to remember. Ephesians 2:12 says that, "At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having," look at this, "no hope, and without God in the world. So not only should we remember where we came from, but we should also remember our former situation, our former spiritual standing. This verse here clearly states that being Gentiles, we had no access to our Savior, Jesus Christ. No access whatsoever. We were alienated, shut out of even the possibility of enjoying a relationship, a fellowship with the Son of God. So if we're a true Christian, it would be hard for us to imagine, I'm sure, not being able to pray, not being able to know that our prayers are being heard. It would be hard for us not to be able to personally know God through His Word. If you've been a Christian at any time at all, you've got to be enjoying God's work. You've got to be enjoying being able to read it and hear from Him. Folks, it would be hard to realize that we're just going through life with no real purpose. That would be awful, really. I mean, a lot of people get up and they work their 9-to-5 job, they go back home and they get back up, they do it again, and that's just their whole life till they die, and they never give any thought to God. But let me tell you, I don't want to go through life without a purpose, and God has given us a purpose, each one of us in here. Folks, it'd be hard to know that you literally had no hope of life eternal. Think about that. Absolutely no hope. There'd be no reason to be here this morning. I mean, you come here because you want to learn more about the hope that you do have. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You come here hoping that you can find what you're looking for. But let me tell you, you can this morning. Folks, it would be hard to have to live like that. And let me tell you the alternative. It's to live a life looking forward to an eternity in hell with no chance, with no hope and no escape. Now stop to think for just a minute and imagine your world without God in it. In the future, the Holy Spirit's going to be removed from this earth for a time, along with all the Christians, which will cause a spiritual chaos throughout this world for all those that are left behind. God tells us in Genesis 6:3 that His Spirit will not always strive with man. He's not always going to convict the heart of a person who constantly refuses His drawings and His warnings. There is a limit to how many times He will give you an opportunity to turn your life around and to accept Christ as your Savior. And we have no idea where that limit is. So the only safe thing to do is to wisely choose Christ today before you walk out that door if you've never done it before you came in here. For us as Christians, we need to remember our former situation of being without that hope, without Jesus as Savior, and without God as our Father. Now, you might be thinking, you know, Brother Don, this isn't a very uplifting message this morning. Bear with me. We're going to get there. Look with me at verse 13. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. With all of this that we have learned this morning, we need to remember our present position in Christ. What a glorious verse. I mean, look back at that. Some of the best words anyone could ever hear. But now, in Christ Jesus. Folks, there has been an eternal spiritual shift in your standing. You are now in Christ. I'm about ready to shout myself. I don't know about y'all, but I'd have to shout in Spanish and y'all wouldn't understand it, so accuse me of speaking in tongues. Folks, how far have we come? Think about where we were just talking about. I mean, we said we were called dogs. We were thought the lowest of the low, and yet we were without hope. We were without God. But now, because of God's unconditional love for each one of us, we don't have to wait and wonder. Now we can know that we are saved by His grace, and we have a no-so salvation, a no-so hope of life eternal in the future in a glorious place called heaven that's especially prepared just for us. Just for us, the dogs. Folks, we have. I don't want to call it the doghouse, folks. It's much better than that. We have a place waiting for us. The verse states, but now in Christ Jesus, in the moment that we accept Christ as our Savior, we are placed in Jesus. Now hold your place here and turn to 1 Corinthians 12:18 very quickly, please. 1 Corinthians 12:18. says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. There's not a person in here. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God loves you so much. God has given you a special gift. He wants to take care of you, and He loves you so much this morning. Verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are members of a family, the family of God this morning. And praise the Lord that we have the opportunity to meet in this church this morning as that family. And we have much more family all around this world. I tell you what, it's a pleasure and it's a joy to be able to go to Peru and know I've got a family there. And then I went to visit another missionary over in Italy a couple of years ago. And as we got there, we found family there. It's amazing, folks, that God loves us so much that he has given us such a huge family. No matter where we go, God's taking care of us. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 again, if you would. Verse 13 reminds us that we were once afar off, but now we are in a close relationship. We're able to enjoy that sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit and able to pray and able to know that he hears us when we do pray and able to trust in his protection and his provision. And it's all because of God's love and the precious blood that was shed on the cross for whosoever will. Verse 14, let's find out something else we need to remember. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Folks, we need to remember who he is. We need to truly remember who he is. Oh, he's God. No, we need to remember who he is to us. Verse 14 says he's our peace. You see, Jesus is the one that our peace comes from. Therefore, he is the author of the peace that we have in our soul. The word for peace here signifies the tranquil state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Jesus Christ, not having to worry and fear God's wrath. Now, what kind of peace is that? Amen. We've got a peace that passes all understanding. We know what he's doing in our lives. It's a contentment that whatever comes our way in this life, because we know that our future lies in him. That true type of peace can only come from God himself this morning, folks. Only from him. In the Old Testament, God promised to bless his people with peace. And Psalm 29:11, you can make a note of this. I want you to read that sometime when you have a chance. You see, we learned there that Jesus is that peace. God promised his peace, and then he sent him to us. Because Jesus is our peace this morning. Isaiah 9:6 prophesied that Jesus would be called the Prince of Peace. Romans 5:1, you can make a note of this one. It says, therefore, in being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. Where do I find peace? In Jesus. In Jesus. According to our text in verse 14, Jesus is the one that brought the Jews and the Gentiles together under the same plan of salvation. He broke down that wall of the ceremonial law of the Jews when the temple veil was torn in two at the moment of his death on the cross. Here's a verse that means a whole lot to me. Brother Berman Cape gave me this verse when I was really struggling with some decisions a long time ago. Colossians 3:15. I would encourage you to note that down, whether you read it right now or later. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, it's God's peace is what should guide us through our tough decisions. If we're trying to make a decision while we're doing God's will. Now, if you're out of God's will, this ain't going to help you. But let me tell you, if you're doing God's will and you're trying to make a decision about what you should do and you can't find peace about it in making that decision, then don't do it. Just flat out don't do it, because it's his peace that needs to rule in our hearts. And if we're doing his will and we're searching for his will in our lives, he will give us that peace. Five times in the New Testament, the scripture mentions the God of peace. And once he's called the Lord of peace. And we need to remember that in Jesus is where our peace is found. It's in him. It's in the salvation that's provided by him. And it's in the promises made by him. Back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We need to remember what he's done. We need to remember who he is, but we need to remember what he has done. We just mentioned that Jesus broke down that barrier for us, didn't we? He accomplished this by the suffering he endured in his own flesh on the cross to fulfill that law that we just read about in verse 15. And because of that action, he united both the Jew and the Gentile into one body. We call it the church. That is the church. Knowing that Jesus changed our status when we were saved, we have a great responsibility to live it out. He changed it. That's why I said we need to remember these things. Too many times we get so lackadaisical with our faith because we think, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, well, my parents are Christian. Yeah, it's been this way for many years. You know, praise God, I'm going to church on Sunday. No, we need to remember we were dogs. We were nothing. And yet he brought us up, and he set us where we're at right now. And he has done so much for us. And we need to remember how he changed our status from dogs to saints. Can you imagine that? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Just two chapters over. Ephesians chapter 4, 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our old sinful way of life should be left behind, as we are renewed into a new creature, a new man created to be holy before God, not to be a Christian, to be holy before God. We should walk in this world holy, not holier than thou, but we should live a life that glorifies our God. Before Christ created a way for reconciliation, the Jews and the Gentiles hated each other. And it's a shame, but some even today do. But now there should be a peace between them. There should be a peace. As a matter of fact, we're promised a blessing if we truly love and pray for the Jews. In Genesis chapter 12, you can read there where God promised Moses that he would bless them that blessed his people, the Jews. And he would curse those that cursed the Jews. So we've got to be careful. We need to remember that God suffered to fulfill the law that was impossible for us to keep. Let's go back to Ephesians 2, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Not only do we need to remember what he did, we also need to remember why he did it. Why would he do that for us? In one short word, love. The love that he had for us. The purpose for Christ's death on the cross was to make salvation available to an entire world. And it didn't matter whether you what nationality, what language, what skin color. He made salvation available to all. This is what made John 3:16 possible. For God so loved the world. That one word there. Folks, when he went to the cross, Christ merged both the Jew and the Greek into one new category. Children of God. We are children of God, brothers and sisters. Now hold your place here in Ephesians. Turn with me to John 1, verse 12. John 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice the words, as many and them that believe. Two phrases that don't leave anybody out. Somebody might be feeling a little left aside, but let me tell you, God didn't leave anybody out. Each of us are included. Each one here this morning is special in God's eyes. And he sent his son to die on the cross for you. Point the finger at yourself, folks. Christ died for you. Whosoever will can now come to Christ, repent of their sin, and be changed into a child of God. For by grace are we saved through faith in Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. But notice that the power to become the sons of God in this verse is only given to those who believe. There are too many people who think they're going to get to heaven by good works or some religion, some other way. But the Bible is very clear. There is only one way to enter the pearly gates of heaven. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt, opening the way to our eternal life. Folks, we need to remember that Christ reconciled us so that we could be saved from a place called hell. We need to remember that this morning. Verse 17. Ephesians 2, verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Folks, this morning we need to remember his preached word. What he preached to us, what those others down through the lines, what our pastors preached. We need to remember Christ preached word this morning. Christ sent his message through Paul. He sent it through others down through the ages to the Gentiles, those who are far away from the grace of God. He sent and is still sending preachers, missionaries, evangelists, near and far to preach his word so that people will be warned of the future that's coming and to offer them hope. We're living in the midst of the worst spiritual battle, in case you've been sleeping. We are living in the midst of the worst spiritual battle that most of us have ever seen in our lives. And folks, it's not going to get any better. We are watching Scripture being fulfilled before our eyes. It's time we need to remember where we came from, where we are, what Christ has done for us, and what we need to be doing for Him. If you would, please turn to 2 Timothy 3:2. I just want to nail this down this morning. 2 Timothy 3:2. Timothy 3:2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." This morning I'd like to just replace some of these descriptions with some synonyms that I believe will bring it just a little closer to home. I think we understand this, but let me just say this morning. Think about this. For men will be filled with self-love. Facebook's a wonderful thing if you use it correctly, but let me tell you something this morning. How many selfies have you seen on Facebook? Selfies. Picture of me. Let me show you what I look like. Let me put on this outfit and show you. Let me let you see me here and there. And folks, loving ourselves more than lovers of God and other things. In other words, greedy. Loud mouths. If you look, you can follow right along. I'm following with that verse. I'm just putting in some synonyms. Full of pride. Rejecting spiritual power. Now, I saw a picture on the internet a while back. You may have seen it. You said it was yourself. It was a man protesting with a sign. And that sign says, "Let Jesus return. We'll kill him again." I'd hate to be standing near that person. Rebellious children and youth. Just go into any store, any restaurant, you'll see it. Ungrateful, always wanting more, never satisfied. Gotta have more, gotta have, gotta have. I want. Not just immoral, but evil. A lack of love for mankind itself. How many mass murders have we experienced in the past few years? We were talking about in Sunday school this morning, these police officers that are being shot. Because a group don't like police officers anymore. One or two may have been bad, and so they want to kill them all. Do you think we've arrived at the point mentioned in the verse we just read? I do. Whether you agree with me or not, let me just tell you, the verse just before this describes this as the perilous times of the last days. The last days. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I believe we're living in the last days for sure. I don't believe he can wait much longer. The spiritual world continues to deteriorate around us. But we as Christians need to remember the preached word of God. We need to study it. We need to share it. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. We need to remember our purpose as Christians is not to come into church and sit down and just enjoy ourselves. Our purpose as Christians is to share Christ's word with the world, to reach that lost before it's eternally too late. Look at verse 18 of Ephesians 2, back in our text. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We need to remember our relationship this morning. What a tender relationship that we have. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection opened a door of access for all of us. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the door in which way we can enter. Turn with me very quickly to Galatians 4:6. I promise we won't be much longer. Galatians 4:6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. I love this verse. "And because ye are sons," what a relationship, "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts." You want to know if you're saved this morning? Do you have that Spirit in your heart? Crying, Abba, Father. Because of our relationship to Christ through the Holy Spirit, we enter into the very presence of God, our Father. Notice the terminology, Abba, Father. These two words together show a very intimate relationship with the Holy God. As a matter of fact, the word Abba was only used by Jesus himself and the Apostle Paul, the one who turned 180 degrees from persecuting God's people to giving his life to reach more for Christ. Both of them had a very intimate relationship with the Holy God. And because we're saved, we can have that intimate relationship with our dear, our beloved, our precious God and Father, the one whose unconditional love makes this relationship possible. In fact, the verse says that the Spirit within us cries out for that intimacy. We need to remember the relationship that we have with our Holy God. Not only do we need to remember it, but we need to guard it from anything that would cause it to draw, something that would draw us away from the intimacy with him. Now let's look at the last verse of our text in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, I could add in here, nor dogs, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. What we find in this verse is that we need to remember our citizenship now. We need to remember to whom we belong. Through Christ, we don't need a passport to enter heaven. No need for that. It's our rightful home. It's a place where we belong, along with the saints, all of those that have gone on before us. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." This word conversation, this verse signifies citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through right here. Imagine entering heaven one day and seeing Matthew and Mark and Luke and John the Beloved there. We're going to see Paul. We're going to see Peter. We're going to see King David, all the Old Testament saints. We're going to have a wonderful reunion with all of our saved family members that are gone on before us. We're going to enjoy that. But as we enter that city, where all the walls are made of jasper, the streets are made of pure gold, the resident that we're going to be clamoring to see is Jesus, our King. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, we may think here that we're going to be looking for family members. We will. We will. But we're going to be looking for Jesus first. With him, we're going to live forever and enjoy all the rights as citizens of the kingdom of God. Remember where we started? Dogs. Now we're citizens in the kingdom of God. We need to remember where and to whom we belong. Because as citizens, we represent that city and we represent our Savior while we're passing through here right now. I don't know if you want to come. As Christians this morning, we have much to remember. We have much to be thankful for, as you've heard this morning. I started this message asking a couple of questions. How much time do you spend thinking about the past? How much time do you spend appreciating the present? I want to add one more question. How much time do you spend contemplating the future? If you're here this morning, you're saved, you can know that your future is secure in a place called heaven, a place without sin, a place where we're going to enjoy face-to-face fellowship with all the saints and our Savior in the presence of our God. We can know that because of what Christ did on the cross. And knowing that, we need to do our best to tell others about God's saving grace before it's too late. But there may be another group here this morning. I've got two quick scriptures for you. Romans 3:23 says, "For all, A-double-L, have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one that's excluded from the guilt of sin this morning. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Talking about spiritual death, we're talking about an eternity in hell. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is not one person excluded from the penalty of sin unless they accept the gift of eternal life that is offered freely because of what Christ did on that cross. Maybe you learned today a little of the journey that others have taken, but realize you've never been down that journey because you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe God's revealed to you that you're still a lost sinner on your way to a completely different place, a place called hell, a place where there's going to be eternal suffering and no relief. It's a place where you're going to be forever separated from loved ones who did accept Christ as their Savior. It's a place where you don't have to go. It's a place that you'll have to choose to go there. Folks, if you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and ask Him to save you, please do that today. Don't leave this building without giving your heart to Christ. Because there's only one other alternative, and that's hell. Brother Allen, if you'll sing a song this morning, I just want to open the altar for whoever would like to come. If you want to come pray, I know the hour's a little later than normal, but I'll tell you what, the Word of God to me is very important, and we need to remember that. Many things we need to remember this morning, and one is that time doesn't matter, because one day we're going to be in a place where time doesn't exist. We need to come down here. If the Lord's dealing with our hearts this morning, come down here and pray for whatever. If you want to pray for someone, if you want to pray for yourself, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you're lost and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, come down here this morning. Let us show you what God's Word says so you can simply ask Christ to forgive you your sins and be saved.
Everyone stand. Have thine own way. Have thine own way.
The altar's open.
Thou